Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. And, well, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, so that we can understand the truth, Father, of this your word and not be deceived, or have the old heresies, Father, thrown at us, but that we will know the right and wrong of thy word, Father, so that we can walk closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and live each and every day with him, always seeking the things of thy kingdom, Father, in our lives. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be picking up here where we left off last evening. We're in Colossians chapter 1, and we'll be starting here with 48 verse. And we had gotten through the first 13. Now, as we pick up here in verse 14, we've got from there to verse 29 in the first chapter to go. We'll see where the Lord takes us to this morning. All right. 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. 14 is telling you and I there, the blood remains the Colossians of the enormous price and sacrifice paid to secure their redemption. And then is achieved by the atonement wrought by Jesus' death. And he tells us here to see Ephesians 1, verse 7, for redemption. But you do not know that we are not only saved by his blood, but those stripes that he bore on his back has brought us healing. And you know, we never stop to think about how he lost that blood. He lost blood through seven places on his body. His two hands, his two feet, crown of thorns, the stripes on his back, and a pierced side. Just think of the punishment that was put on that body, and he done it all and took it all on himself for you and I. And yet mankind today is not wanting to walk with him. They're wanting to deny him, to deny his existence, and go exactly in the opposite direction until they have brought our nation almost beyond repair. And may have, really, because we have very few today standing that are even claiming to be Christians that really are. Now, as we go into 15, verse 15, says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? The firstborn of every creature. Not just mankind, but every creature. And that firstborn actually signifies two things. One, temporal priority, as the firstborn child in a family is born before his brothers and sisters. And similarly, Christ existed before creation. He existed before the universe was created, and owing to the privileges usually given an oldest child, firstborn also signifies positional priority. The firstborn in a family was customarily accorded more honor, greater authority, or a larger share of the inheritance, and so held a privileged position in relation to his brothers and sisters. And in like manner, Christ, as the firstborn, occupies a position supreme over the universe. You see, he is over all. Therefore, when Paul declares Christ to be the firstborn of every creature, the apostle does not mean that he is the first person whom God created. Paul instead means that Christ is earlier than, as well as preeminent in all creation. Now we know that he privileged above all of creation. His name has been given above every name. And he took upon himself death to even give you and I life. Now, 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. They were created by him and for him. Now, there in 16, that verse provides the reason Christ is called the firstborn in verse 15. And Paul's rationale in this, since by him were all things created then, Christ must have existed before the universe. And he must be greater than all he made. Thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers all refer to angelic beings. Thrones refer to angels who sit on thrones as rulers. Dominions refers to domains of kingdoms over which these heavenly beings reign. Principalities refer to rulers, and powers refers to angelic monarchs who wield regal power. Since Christ created these various ranks of angels, he is supreme over them. Striking a blow at the Colossians' heresies advocating angel worship, which we know that back then a lot of Gentiles did. It wasn't just the Colossians. It was a lot of mankind. And even still today, we have a lot of mankind today that still pray to different angels that's named in the Bible. The Bible don't tell them to do it either, but they do it. In fact, the Bible tells us that it doesn't do any good not to do it. And actually, it even forbids Christians to pay homage to angels or other heavenly beings created by God. We don't pay homage to nothing. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God himself, our Heavenly Father. Think about this. But yet, look what mankind wants to do today and how he's walking. And when we come down to it, he really doesn't care, because he wants to do everything his way and at his time, instead of doing it by the way and the will of Almighty God and at God's time. Well, I'm just so busy. I just can't make time. One day you're going to stand before the judge and you're going to hear him say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you." So you just go on denying him, spending no time with him or with his word and with his people, and doing things your own way, and wind up eventually at that great white throne judgment and being cast into a lake of fire that will burn forever. And you will never die. Just constant torment. Think about that. Now, 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We know that there is nothing that does not consist because of the Lord our God. You know, we look at things around us today and we'll say, you know, so-and-so created this. Not really. God gave him the ability and the mind and even put that in his mind on what to do. It all comes from God. Your next breath comes from God. These are things that we today have stopped even thinking about, let alone living them out. We have taken God out of everything that we do. And we don't have time for him. 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. He is the head of the body. Now, he himself is the head of the body. The word himself translates the Greek intensive pronoun signifying that Jesus, rather than any angelic being, is the church's head. He is the leader who is the beginning, or he is the beginning, justifies calling Jesus the head of the church. And beginning means cause. The origin, or as in Revelation, why then is he the church's head? Because he is the origin from which the church comes, or the cause, our existence also, because he is the firstborn from the dead, that is the first of new creation. And the church to be resurrected, never to die again, then in all things he might have the preeminence, so that in all things he alone has become preeminent. Now that Jesus is head of the church, he alone holds the preeminent position in both the first creation, the universe, and in the new creation, the church. Thus, Jesus should hold the first place in the believer's life. And he will not stand to hold second, third, or fourth place in our lives like we think. And that's what people believe. It's all right. I don't have to go to church today. I don't have to make time for Bible study because I've got too many things to do. So we go on doing our own thing, and we have left God strictly out of it. Well, I prayed about it. So what? Telling you, when you try to put him in any other place than first place in your life, you are walking in trouble. And a lot of trouble. You know, he used to hold first place in our life. This occurs when one bows to his authority and obeys his word, yields to his spirit, submits to his church leader, and does his will and bestows his chief affections on him. You see, he has first place, or he's going to take none. We are told over and over and over and over in the Word of God about this. But a lot of us don't even know, because we don't spend the time in God's Word. Well, I read my Bible. Yes, you read your Bible. But you don't have the help there to give you the revelation of what, even what you're reading, and you will not understand it. Without the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, we will not understand the truth of God's Word. And we're told that in His Word. And most of them don't even know it's in there. 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. All the fullness of death is in Him. Since He is fully God, He ought to be preeminent. By Christ's death, God reconciled the universe to Himself. You see, these three, we talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because God has worked with mankind in several different ways. He worked with us as the Father in the beginning. And then He came to earth as the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, and worked with mankind, and died to give you and I everlasting life. Went back to heaven, then sent the Holy Spirit to be with us today. We have the deity. We have all three living in us today. They didn't have that before, but we have been given that today. If we will walk with Him and put Him on and live by His Word, then He will live in us and us in Him. We've been told that several times just in the last few days. In our study, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has He reconciled. You see, we're not saved because we're working. We're saved because He loves mankind. And He done everything He could do to reconcile us back to Himself. He wants us to make heaven our home. And evidently, really, He's wanting us to make it a lot more than what most of mankind is wanting themselves. Because they're not interested. and the land we're living in today is calling everything that's good evil, and everything that's evil good. And they're doing things in our churches today that really, if they would have tried back 50 years back, they would have been thrown out of the church. And they are the ones that are in a lot of our podiums teaching others. And accepting homosexuals, transsexuals, abortion, and all as being all right. Those things that are an abomination unto God. And for the most part, most are sitting back and saying nothing about it to let it go on instead of letting their voice be heard and spread the word of what is happening. And that is the reason that our land and our country is in the shape that it's in today. Mankind sat back and let one woman take prayer out of our schools. And she didn't even have a child in school at that time. Her daughter was old enough that as this woman was taking prayer out of our schools, was sitting on a bar stool beside her mother drinking beer. But no one stopped it or even tried to stop it. Look what we have allowed. Instead of standing up and letting them know, we are not going to accept this. And be praying to God to work with us to get it stopped. 22. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. In the body of his flesh, through death. That by his fleshly body through death, the Colossians heretics may have argued that Jesus' humanity, and death indicate his inferiority. In other words, he wasn't what he said he was. To the angelic beings in the universe, all turns this argument against them, showing that his death points to his superiority. For his death is the divine means of achieving reconciliation to God. To present your body and to present you whole in his sight and to bring you wholly into his presence. This expresses the ultimate purpose of reconciliation. It is to eventually usher the believer made perfectly holy into the heavenly presence of God. And one day you're going to stand there. And as I said earlier, you'll either be welcomed in as his child, or you're going to hear him say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I never knew you." And that is because of the way you choose to live. He's not going to force anything on you. But his word is giving you warning of how to live, to make heaven and him your home, or how to make hell and that lake of fire your home. It's your choice. You choose. Now, 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which is preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Paul is letting you know exactly how he was made a minister and all. But you've got to continue in faith. You see, because the only way you can persevere and stay and be that child of God that you should be is through and by faith. Because we accept everything by faith. Your salvation is accepted by faith. Healing is accepted by faith. Knowledge of his word is accepted by faith. We get faith by the hearing of God's word. Now, 24. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind on the affections of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. The afflictions of Christ. Since Paul is a member of the body of Christ, the Lord himself suffered when his apostles suffered. These afflictions are more Christ than Paul's. Rather than detracting from his ministry, Paul's afflictions actually enhance it as they exist for his body's sake, which is the church. You see, the church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is really only one church. Now we as groups come together in assembly, in all, in the place where we meet we call church, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But, and we can put whatever name we want on that church. But what comes out of that church is to be the things of the Lord's church out of this word, his holy word. And we should all be of one mind and one accord in unity. Instead of all these walls we have built that we call denominations where we cannot associate even with each other. When we can't associate with each other, there's no way we're going to be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and that's his word, not mine. Here in 26, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. That mystery is the divine truth, which because it is too profound for men to discover and comprehend without help, was previously unknown, but is now disclosed to man by God through his apostles and prophets and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Without the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, without the Holy Spirit in your life guiding you and giving you the truth of God's word, you will never understand it. Now, 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, the mystery here is Christ in you. It was no secret in the Old Testament that Gentiles would be saved, but that Christ would dwell in Gentile converts was unknown at that time. And further explaining this mystery, Paul equates Christ in you with the hope of glory. You know, when we talk about glory and all, that hope of glory refers to the certainty of heaven, that Christ's life and character and his virtues, values, thoughts, and attitudes and deeds are present in a Christian is evident that he is headed toward glory in heaven. Think about these things. We don't do it. How often do we really think about it? Until you become that born-again child of God, you don't think about these things. But once you really become that born-again child of God, they're never far from you. You see things all the time that will make you cry and make you get on your knees and go to the Lord in prayer. And pray a lot of times, doing a lot of different things. And things will come to you, and you'll see things that will make you just stop, stand, bow your head and pray to the Lord God. 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now that's getting strong, isn't it? Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. We have come now to the end of chapter 1. It took a while to get there, hadn't it? Because chapter 1 has been full of knowledge that we all need. And you know, chapter 2 is not gonna let up any. I want you to really catch these studies all that you can, because they are so much in these studies that we need to know and know about. Things that we are to do and things that we are not to do in order to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, and how to put him first in our lives. Make him are all in all. These are the things I really want you to understand. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, I thank you for this word, Father. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for the times that we can come together to share your word and to learn more how to walk in accordance with your will and your way, Father, and walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for Jerusalem and Israel. We pray for peace for them, Father. We know the trouble that's going on there. We know, Father, you're always there with them. And Father, we also pray for all of them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And this land of ours, Father, that has had so much evil brought upon it by evil leaders that are sitting in our government and in our churches. Father, I pray for a way to remove them from office and to replace them with those that are walking in righteousness, that are yours, Father, that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, love your church, your people and this country, and will work with us to put this country back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray now for those that have made this ministry a part of their life, and I thank God for it. Those that are close here with me, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy's son Jacob, to Bobby and Millie Johnson, to James Taylor, for my wife, for myself. And Father, for that young couple that is standing in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, Courtney and Shane, Holy Spirit, work with them too, to help bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so they not be lost, Father. Now, Father, be with all of us through this day. Keep us all in health. See to our needs. And keep us safe. And bring us all back together again this evening, Father, at 6 p.m. and back into your word. Father, this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a great day. Bye-bye now.